We're rolling, dude.
You can talk at will.
I'm looking at the pretty pictures
of Maxim magazine. I like that Lindsay Lohan picture. Although
nice.
Some of those websites you see, oh, it's another day, another set of Lindsay Lohan in bikini photos.
Welcome to Westerday and A's. I'm Matt.
And I am Richard.
And what happened to episode 24?
Richard, I think, covered episode 20 whatever with another episode by screwing up on the naming of them. And Richard is an idiot. And Richard apologizes. And there apparently is no copy of it anywhere. And I'm not sure why I don't save copies of them, but it just never occurred to me, so... I will now, starting with this episode, I'm going to burn all the original files, so I'll save a CD of all of them, and it will not happen again.
I can't be too pissed. You do all the technical work.
Well, not all of it, but I screwed that one up big time, and I should have known when I was doing
that
it.
That was our PAX episode.
Ugh, jeez.
Penny Arcade Expo.
And I did want to talk about one of their columns this week. I don't know if you read it, but it was really good.
I read all of them.
The one on Friday was uniquely great. Anyway, go ahead. My apologies to anybody who is looking for that missing episode. It is in the ether.
No, it's not. See, that's the problem.
Yeah, that's true. It's nowhere.
So anyway, we talk about things in the entertainment industry that capture our interest. And I think this will be a little more of a tech-heavy episode for...
It's true. You seem a little low-key this morning.
I'm not feeling that great.
Really?
I kind of have a sore throat and...
Something like that's going around. My niece and brother inhabit. So.
So in no particular order, here are the things we emailed each other about this week. Ali G.
Oh, my God.
Borat. So apparently the president of Kazakhstan is actually coming to the U.S. And there's a couple of stories floating around about how either he is or will not be venting to President Bush about the new Borat movie making fun of Kazakhstan.
You know what's funny is every article I've read that refers to that story, they have to preface it by saying, no, this is not an Onion story, because it seems incredible that some kind of minor diplomatic incident is being caused by this stupid movie.
Well, and there's a variety of aspects to it. One, apparently the daughter of the Kazakhstanian president gets the joke.
Yep.
And is saying,
yep,
everyone needs to calm down. It's a comedy movie. And Jeffrey Wells even had a throwaway thought that maybe this is all a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
On the part of Sasha Cohen. And then beyond that, I was just thinking, isn't Sasha Cohen a Brit?
Yeah, I know. Well, it's an American finance movie. I think that's the deal with it. And it's clearly... Yeah, but you know, the funny thing is looking at that, I mean, we forget that in actuality, there have been legitimate major incidents happen because of movies. There was this movie in the 70s called Mohammed, Messenger of God, and they deigned to show a man playing Mohammed. And I think that was the story. And it ended up causing these folks to take over an embassy in Washington, D.C. and kill people. So
I can kind of understand that. As something to get upset about, on one hand, get upset about, I don't defend it. On the other hand, you know, I was thinking back to that movie from a year or two ago that was depicting American soldiers as complete and utter pigs. And wasn't Nick Nolte in it?
The one that was filmed in Turkey.
Turkey.
And it wasn't Nick Nolte. It was Gary Busey.
Yeah, Gary Busey.
Yeah.
And that seemed, you know, the way they depicted Americans was just so... from what I heard, so far out of line that's something to get upset about, not a comedy.
Yeah, I agree. And if they were smart, they could totally turn it for them, because it is such a crazy, overtly giant stereotype of Kazakhstan. But it becomes a real opportunity to talk about Kazakhstan, to have stuff. The one thing you would never want to do is invite like Ali G as Borat, Sacha Baron Cohen as Borat to there. Cause even though they're trying to win him over, he is so brilliant at mercilessly messing with them, but they could totally turn that to their advantage. And it seems like the daughter of the president gets that. And the president has no clue whatsoever. Poor guy. You know, it's funny. I've read like three different early reviewers that saw it in Toronto, and it was weird. They all mentioned the same thing. They're saying he's so brilliant in this thing. It's a unique thing he does, but he's so brilliant that they're saying he should legitimately be considered for an Oscar nomination. And I thought, well, that was interesting. They're clearly floating that balloon out there. But, you know, you got to wonder how, you know, what level, to some extent, improvisational comedy could factor into that. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. They're legitimately saying it's one of the very best movies of the year. And I, for one, cannot wait to see it. I am so excited.
November, though.
I know. It's like a month and a half away. It's killing me.
Anyway, so that we find that interesting.
Yeah.
I suddenly became aware of, in the past couple of weeks, this film Infamous, which is another Truman Capote film.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Starring a British guy whose name escapes me.
Yeah, that was the one. It was literally 2 years ago they were talking about, because they were filming that and Capote basically at the same time.
Yeah.
And literally following the same exact events.
Although, you know, somebody said, why would you want to see the same movie again? And, oh, our movie is much warmer and much more expansive. And it was like, okay. And there's a lot of name actors in it. Sigourney Weaver and...
huge actors. Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock plays Harper Lee. Daniel Craig, the new James Bond.
Yep.
And yet, no desire whatsoever on my part.
Yeah.
Because I don't care what they say, I feel like I did just see the movie.
Yeah. Well, you got to feel bad, because it's one of those cases where Hollywood often gets the same idea at the same time.
That's something I actually wanted to discuss, because you have to wonder what leads to that. Is it,
yeah.
How often are there literally different explanations, instead of somebody heard about a script going around and thought, oh, that's an interesting idea, I'll write a script about that. You know, because you look at...
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably hundreds of examples, but the first one that jumps to my mind, or the first time I became aware of it, was Deep Impact and Armageddon.
Yeah.
Entirely two different movies, but sort of from the same basic event.
Yeah.
You know, and a big asteroid hitting the Earth, or comet, or whatever. Or you look at,
well, the other big one was Wyatt Earp and,
Tombstone
and Tombstone. And it was very similar to Capote in that they sort of were announced at the same time, but one was the Pedigree, project, and the other was The Underdog. The Underdog came out first and got really good reviews. And the Pedigree project, like with Wyatt Earp, was Lawrence Kasdan and Kevin Costner. It didn't get very good reviews, and Tombstone got great reviews, even though it was apparently supposedly done on the quick. Capote was the same thing. This was the project of a couple of friends, Philip Seymour Hoffman and his buddy who wrote the thing, and they were aware of the other project, and it was killing them because they had gotten funding and it wasn't going to be pulled, but they're going, oh, this other project, because it's got all these stars and it's going to look lush and stuff. But they did theirs, got theirs out. And because they did the other one, they clearly held off on the other one, trying to distance itself from it. What must have killed them is that it literally apparently follows the exact same storyline, versus like with Wyatt Earp and Tombstone. The problem with Wyatt Earp was it didn't seem to realize the only thing about Wyatt Earp people care about is the shootout, the OK Corral. And in Wyatt Earp, it's the first Wyatt Earp movie that had that in the middle of the movie. And then then you have like the whole rest of the movie. It's like, oh, what's this all about?
I think I saw it, but I literally cannot remember.
Not a bad movie, not a great movie. But anyway, so with Capote, it was one of those things where they were putting them out. But I will definitely see it when it comes out in DVD, just because it exactly follows the same storyline. It would be interesting to see a take on it. The guy who plays him in the movie, the little preview I've seen, clearly physically looks a lot like him and sounds a lot like him, which to me, but it also kind of came across as a little creepy. And Philip Seymour Hoffman, which doesn't actually look that much like him, to me, it shows you what an actor can do, because I think that just from that preview, it seems to me Philip Seymour Hoffman nailed it, and I'm not sure this guy particularly did.
Okay. I think we've covered that. What?
I just thought that was funny. Okay. Check. You might as well make a little check.
I practically should. I saw a little blurb this morning. Matt Damon has officially denied being contacted by J.J. Abrams to play a young James T. Kirk.
Really? After all that? I also thought, oh, man. I'm assuming that was like a done deal.
That doesn't mean it won't happen in the future, but he was saying, somebody was asked, I don't know what he was. I think he was doing press for Departed, and somebody asked him, and he said, no, nobody's contacted
How
me
did
yet.
It take him that long to deny? It seems to me he's been around.
I don't know. I still think it'd be a cool idea, but.
I do, too. I like that, dude. Did you see the Jimmy Kimmel special on Friday?
No.
It's Jimmy Kimmel. It's his, like, fifth year anniversary, and he's fine. You know, just sort of like Conan. He was, like, on the brink of being canceled for, like, 3 years straight, and now he's kind of legitimate. So, and I don't know if you've ever seen a show, but he typically ends his show at least once every couple of weeks. He'll have a bunch of stars, and at the very end, he'll just, he's closing up, he'll say, oh, and I want to apologize to Matt Damon. We ran a little long, but we'll try and have him back tomorrow. It's his running gag.
Oh, that he's got some huge star in
exactly.
the wings that he kept waiting.
And it's a
That's
running
funny.
Gag with Matt Damon. So anyway, Matt Damon comes on this show and he goes, oh, so welcome Matt Damon, or no, the star of, and he lists off all his credits. He goes on for about 5 minutes announcing him. And then Matt Damon comes on, and just when he comes on, he says, it's great to be here. You know, Matt, I'm sorry, we ran a little long on the introductions. So I got to go. So then he gets mad, and then later they cut back to him, and it's ostensibly during the commercials, and Matt Damon is acting up a storm, dropping F-bombs left and right, pissed off at Jimmy. It's obviously a joke, but he does it
really
legitimately
funny.
Great. That and he never really was the guest. He just storms off. It was really a funny, cool
that's
move.
That's awesome. Matt Damon seems like a...
does. So I would love to see him as Kirk, and I can't believe that rumor festered as long as it did without anybody actually denying it. If it was something they wanted to deny, you'd think that they would have put the kibosh on it.
Yeah, we'll see.
Did you see, speaking of Star Trek, were we going to talk about that? Did you see the little website where they were talking about the new effects and stuff? Have you seen that?
No.
They did a website where they showed them and other stuff. And I've kind of done a turnaround on it. For whatever reason, I thought it was for a DVD release. I didn't realize it was for a syndication release.
I'm sorry. I probably
should
have mentioned
that. Because of that, I don't actually think it's so bad, honestly. And looking at what they were doing, it was interesting. The one thing they did is they completely re-recorded all of the music, because the music, old music, was really, the masters were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of cool. And for whatever reason, I don't have a problem with re-recording music as much as I do with effects. And it was clear with the effects, they're not going nuts. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the reason they're doing this is to go back and get some high def transfers. And they said that they're putting them on high def, even though most of their affiliates can't handle high def, mm-hmm. but the possibility is out there. So they were showing comparison screens, and it just simply looked great. And I thought, man, I wouldn't mind just sitting out watching a bunch of Star Trek. And I haven't watched all the Star Treks since I was about 16 years old. And I'd love to sit down and start watching them. So if they're syndicated here, I'll probably start watching them. So I did a turnaround, and listening to them, they were extremely conservative at what they were doing. And I thought that was the right thing to do. Anyway.
Yep. Bouncing around. Let's see here. The new TV season,
yeah,
is, well, it's, I don't know what you would list as the official start time, because Fox launched their Simpsons, Family Guy, American Dad, and The War at Home. It's actually kind of funny.
Oh, that was last week, right?
Yeah, last
week.
Oh,
I missed it. That was the White Stripes episode, right?
Of what?
Of Simpsons.
No.
The White Stripes.
Oh, that was
week?
The Sopranos ones.
Oh, I thought the Simpsons had the White Stripes on it.
Not last week.
Okay.
Unless I'm completely forgetting some B-plot.
No, you're probably, it probably isn't.
Although, it's kind of funny if you look at how Fox has done marketing, yeah. as they've had the various shows on their Sunday night lineup. And right now you've got three animated shows,
yeah.
and then The War at Home.
Yeah.
With David Rappaport.
Yeah.
Which just looks horrible.
But that's like it's a show from last year.
Yeah.
And it was terrible last year. It's like one of those forced, really bitter kind of shows, and it's not funny.
And so their current thing is, it's the four fathers of Fox or something. Mm. And because each guy is a father. But you look at what they've done in the past with Animation Domination and
yeah,
and The Boom, back when Futurama was on. And you just, what, you kind of look at these advertising campaigns and marketing and go, what's the point? Is that supposed to make me want to watch all four of them?
Yeah, they're trying to come up with some connection for why that oddball show's on there, I guess.
I don't understand why you need to theme a night.
Do you ever watch? Do you watch that American Dad?
Yeah.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't like it as much as the others.
Yeah.
And I think it's been hot and cold. Sometimes it's just not funny.
Yeah.
But I think they're trying, and they're. I think my favorite episode so far is the one where. The character's dad,
yeah,
not dad. The character's boss played by Patrick Stewart,
yep.
who ended up sleeping with the daughter, the liberal daughter, the mm-hmm. CIA director sleeping with the liberal daughter. It was, and hearing Patrick Stewart voice this character was just hysterical.
Yeah.
You know, I think I left most of my electrolytes in your daughter last night.
Good Lord.
Anyway, I like it.
Well, I couldn't get into it. And even with a Family Guy, honestly, it's been really tough going for me since watching that South Park episode. It legitimately, every time yeah. I look at it, I think of these friggin' manatees and these like idea balls. And when they riff on a riff, if it doesn't make sense, I'm overtly aware of that or it has no connection. So
yeah,
it kind of screwed it for me.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll still watch it.
And I was thinking about what new shows are coming on. I think the only thing new I'm interested in is the Studio 60.
Yeah, Studio 60 and the Tina Fey one, I guess.
I'm not that interested. I mean, if it's on and I'm not doing anything else, I'll watch it. But
well, it didn't get good reviews, but then there was one place where it said the Studio 60. They didn't like that one, and they liked the Tina Fey one. Who knows? I'm definitely going to watch it, but if it's not good, but I'm
mildly interested in that NBC Heroes just because that's sort of my alley. But what'd you say?
I said, well, yeah, everybody's talking about that one. So, but you know what's funny? I do like the ads for the Tina Fey one because that's the one with Alec Baldwin on. Yeah. Alec Baldwin is sitting here talking about, oh, it's great to be on a show, Aaron, the guy from West Wing's writing it.
John told me about that promo. I haven't seen it.
He's going, sounds hysterical. The guy from West Wing's on it. The guy or is producing it. And Tina goes, no, actually, that's the other show. And he seems to get legitimately mad. Like, he's confused he got on the wrong damn show.
I know.
It's so funny.
Sound very funny. there's some returning shows I'm interested in. But the only new one is Studio 60.
Yeah. Yep.
So although a lot of times I kind of wait to see what bubbles up as quality and then I'll go back later.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just not watching shows on an ongoing basis anymore. Although maybe now that my new studio TV entertainment center is coming to fruition, I'll be watching more TV. But pretty much I did it again. I watched all of Arrested Development, the final season, last week on DVD, and I can't help but think I am part of the reason it was canceled, because I'm one of those people that just stopped watching it so I could watch it all on DVD. So I can't imagine there's many people like
that. Yeah, I was just gonna say, I doubt there was that many people that stopped watching it just so they could see it all in one run. I really do.
But it was God, what a legitimately great season and funny and hilarious on so many levels, and I just was like, oh man, I can't believe that show is over. It sucked because it was like half a season. They just killed it halfway through. But great, great final episode and tied all back to the original one. And it was great. God, what a good show.
Yeah, Lost coming back.
Yeah, are you excited about that?
I'm a total Lost addict. I
managed to not watch the entire last season, so I screwed myself. So,
All right. I have a question. Here's kind of a weird question for you.
Yeah.
When you're watching, because you have a video, do you have a video card in your computer that lets you watch TV?
Yeah.
A tuner card?
Yes.
Does it let you, is it an ATI or an NVIDIA?
It's ATI.
Does it let you define the channels as you're flipping channels? And it'll say channel 4, Como, channel 5, King. Does it let you put something in there that's user definable?
Yes.
Okay. I was doing a fill-in shift at the radio station yesterday.
Yeah.
And they have a tuner card in one of the bank of computers we have.
Yep.
And so I was watching college football, and I was flipping around, and for some reason, they get like 10 home shopping channels. I didn't even know where however many home shopping channels there are in existence, this particular cable thing supplies all of them.
Wow.
And I was flipping through, and one of them, and you know, it's going CBS, NBC, whatever, and one of them says, do people actually buy this crap? And I was stunned because I'm like, oh my God, is somebody at the cable company being bitter? Is that the intern's last day? What's going on? And then I thought, well, maybe that's user definable and a DJ did that. Okay.
And those, and by the way, the ATI software is abysmally bad. It's about six different pieces of software that don't even really work together, that they cobble together in this package. It's really, really horrible. Not that the Microsoft Microsoft Entertainment, Windows XP Microsoft
Edition.
Yeah, that one. Not that's that great, but it's pretty good, and it integrates really well. And the thing with ATI, it's just an absolute mess. And they would have regular updates. They got this idea that we're committed to once a month sending out an update, which seemed bizarre. And a couple of those updates literally broke it, and you'd have to try and figure out how to get the old one back. But it puts, it's just awful, awful stuff. Hopefully with their new, being absorbed by AMD, they will, I don't know, be better in some way. Anyway, it's just awful.
Okay. That's kind of what I thought.
Sure.
All right. So two gigantic tech stories to talk about. And they're sort of related.
Mm-hmm.
The Apple event,
yep,
and Microsoft's official unveiling of Zune.
Oh, Zune.
Zune.
The underwhelming unveiling of Zune.
Well, we'll talk about that first. Microsoft, I think it was Thursday or Friday, officially.
It was like 2 days out. Yeah, I think it was Thursday.
They unveiled officially Zune, which is their, I don't think they're actually calling it an iPod killer, but that's what everyone else is calling
it.
Well, trying their attempt at an iPod. So basically, it's like a rebadged Toshiba something or other. I don't even know what the product is.
Yep.
It's got a bigger screen than the current iPod.
Yep.
It's got wireless capability. Apparently, it will do video. There was some speculation that it wouldn't do video right out of the block.
So. Yeah, but you've heard about their little DRM struggles and issues.
I have not.
It will not. It's really funny because it won't, because of issues with licenses and DRM, it won't actually play Microsoft DRM, files with DRM because of the sharing function in it. All the license providers are going, we don't want you to license our content. So even though it's described as like, what do they call it? Like ready to play, which is their
plays for sure.
Yeah, plays for sure. Zune doesn't play for sure. It's unbelievable because all these content partners are all pissed off about it. It's just it's amazingly stupid mess up on Microsoft's part, if you ask me.
Well, there was an interview with Jay Allard on Engadget that I skimmed, and I saw plays for sure. So clearly they were talking about it, and perhaps he was saying they're gonna. We okay over there?
Yeah, we're just having it for some reason. Hang on, let's just make sure let's check, check, check. Okay, we're on.
So the two big things, it's got a bigger screen,
yeah,
and it's got this wireless thing. So that's the killer feature that they're pimping, is that if I have a Zune and you have a Zune, I can share some songs with you that you are then able to listen to either three times or within 3 days or something before they self-destruct, or you can purchase them somehow.
Which is, honest to God, the most minor feature I can ever imagine. For me, honest to God. I mean, even if I have an iPod, it wouldn't occur to me. It might, oh, that'd be cool. I mean, it just, oh, here, I'm going to share with you this song.
I've been trying to think about it. And I, on one hand, it's one of those, maybe it's something that people really want and it will develop into a big thing.
Yeah,
I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt on that. Despite, much like you, I personally could care less.
Yep.
Because I think I really, I don't, I just, for me, if somebody has, hey, you should check this out, it's just as easy for me to remember that and go home and check it out.
Yeah.
Or there are like Amazon, or there's a lot of different sites that let you sample a song for free.
Yeah.
And then you can either buy it on iTunes or, basically steal it.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
Yeah.
And for me, and I think perhaps for most tech people that are, marginally techies, by now they've done enough experimenting to know exactly how much effort it takes to either purchase it legally through iTunes or steal it.
Yeah.
And it's really not that hard to do either. And so the wireless sharing thing, I don't know if
just to me, it sounds like it's like a whole lot of nothing, but I don't know. Maybe something
yet,
I don't get
about
it.
If you look at their pimping materials, they're going hardcore as that's the thing that's
well,
special.
Well, it's because it is the thing that's special. Yeah, doesn't it's mean it's great.
It's the differentiating factor.
I mean, I find the thing, it doesn't look very good. It I don't know what the screen looks like. I'll have to see what the screen, but the physical form, they clearly don't have the designers that Apple does and just look and feel, but who knows?
And then a lot of people saying, well, Microsoft is a, I just heard the phrase again a week ago, like a 3.0 company. You can ignore them for the first couple of versions, but by the time they get around to 3.0, they've usually got something that's decent.
Well, they do. Not always, but they do. I mean, look at Internet Explorer and these other things that they were just a minor player in and then became the dominant player.
Dominated. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, and they definitely have the money to push something forever.
Yeah, they do.
All right. So that's the Zune. And whether, you know, and apparently the plan is for them to spend a ton of money and put, you know, a mess of these things in front of consumers for Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
I know.
We'll see. All right.
My prediction is it's not going to succeed. That's just me. I would never count Microsoft out, but it just doesn't seem to have anything compelling, any reason why you'd want
to
do it.
To me, for it to succeed, it would either have to do video/movies really, really well, which now it doesn't do any better than Apple's products.
Yep.
Or it has to tie in a really cool way to the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
And I think it ties in, but right now it's not doing anything super cool. There's no killer aspect to it. Because the 360 is so well done that if you tie it into that, anyway. Yeah. So the big story this week is Apple and the various things that they announced and are doing.
Yeah. It was a pretty broad announcement. They had a lot of things going on.
So,
where was it at this year? What was that? What was this one for? It was a developers conference, or
no? It was just an Apple press event,
just an announcement. Okay,
I can't remember if it was at the Moscone Center or if it was in one of the. I don't think it was at the Flint Center.
Yeah,
and it doesn't matter where it was, but it was a dedicated just Apple event. It wasn't part of a larger show.
Yeah,
where they announced a new iPod Shuffle, which actually is so incredibly small. I mean,
you're just going to lose the postage stamp.
It's wearable for sports.
Yeah.
And it's...
It's clear that the size is dictated by it. You have to be able to, like, change this or do something with it, but it's the size of a postage stamp.
I was at a friend's house last night who is a mountain biker, and he was saying he's seriously thinking about getting one because it's so well-suited for that.
It's perfect for something like that, and it gives you, couple dozen songs or more, or...
I don't know. It's a gigabyte. I don't know what that translates into.
So it's like, it's pretty awesome.
Is it a gigabyte?
I don't know. It's hard
Maybe
to say.
Maybe I'm overstating that. I don't know.
Either way, it's still pretty sweet little thing for a kind of a product that they've, you know, it's funny. They talk about how many Apples they've sold. Well, the Shuffle, they hand out for free in so many different capacities that's part of why they can say the Shuffle's so successful. I mean, the iPod is so successful. But anyway, so they redid the... They did redid the 5G one slightly.
Well, I was going to do the Nano first.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
And basically, this new... I'm watching these gardeners across the street, and they're fertilizing, and it's a little
oddly
haphazard.
Stimulating.
It's a little haphazard, actually. Okay. Aluminum enclosure.
Yep.
And back to colors. And now that they've discerned that people will pay more for something if it's black, there's a black one with a higher capacity that costs more.
So it's essentially it's sort of melding the mini, the old mini, and the Nano.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. So and then the actual iPod itself.
Yep.
Basically, it's just got a brighter screen. That's the only physical difference.
You know, the screens on these are pretty dang bright. I was actually surprised that they did that, and also somehow much longer battery life.
Well,
okay, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, that's from the physical. And then they've got a new search. They revved the software, so there's a new search thing.
Yeah, which to me, honestly, I don't know. I just scroll through the things, and I'm not really needing to search. But it's a cool feature. Clearly, it's instantaneously accessible. So,
Yeah. So there's that. So they didn't unveil the new the new horizontal video iPod that everyone's really, God, when are they going to do this? Ah!
Yeah.
Which may or may not have like a touchless interface for.
They reduced the prices for the other
that's
ones.
That's true.
Which
they
cool.
did reduce the
and,
price.
And the now the premium iPod has a 80 gigabyte hard drive.
And so you've got to wonder, you have to know they really wanted to release the new. There's so many different accounts of this horizontal video iPod. It has to exist.
Everything I understand, it all has to do with the interface, the touch screen, and because they had to integrate it into the screen, and it
just
didn't work.
Well, it's got to be frustrating to not be able to release that in time for the holiday season.
Yeah.
That's got to be frustrating.
I agree.
So there's that. And then a revamp of iTunes.
Yep.
So it's reorganized a little, just to better, you know, it sort of integrates everything better. It's got this incredible new feature. They bought this company that does, I forget what it's called, Cover Shot, something like that.
Yeah.
That does this thing where it takes your cover art and sort of presents it in as a stack of CDs that horizontally scrolls. It's beautiful. And it's like crack.
Yeah, you just sit there and watch them go by. And the only thing is like, I have a lot of old MP3s I downloaded in the heyday of Napster, and they're horribly...
You purchased legally.
No, I'm not even going to admit
that. Oh, my God.
I didn't purchase. I purchased legally.
You're admitting to an illegal activity on a recorded medium.
Well, it was 7 years ago. But anyway, so I had all these things. But the thing is, and honestly, a whole lot are from my collection that I burned. And the album names aren't quite right and everything. Well, that's what it goes on to track them.
Well, yeah. So that's what I've been doing is I've been going through, cause I have a bunch of one or two song, you know, things on mine, on my iTunes. I've been going through and putting in the album name so that it can go because iTunes will now go out and grab the art for you. And they're high quality cover scans. Because the old way to do it, or at least the way I was doing it, was you go to Amazon
and
look at the cover art,
and
those are really low-res, crappy versions, because I think it's like they're user-loaded album artwork. And this is much higher quality. So I've been going through and doing that, and it's so that I could get more album art, so I can look at this cool new feature, because it's like crack, and I'm
Well, I'll tell you that
addicted.
The new iTunes is great on a million levels. Like, for instance, when you're loading your iPod, there's a ton of information finally.
Yeah, that's cool.
You can see like what kinds of things you have loaded on your iPod and what's going on or whatever. But I'm now realizing some of the limitations that are driving me nuts. For one thing, that user art thing, they could do that with the podcast because every podcast has
to sort of do.
Well, you can if you go into like a different section.
No, as I'm flipping through, the Major Nelson Xbox 360 one pops up.
Okay, but if you're in the actual podcast section, which kind of that's how I sort through. Now the other thing too is they've eliminated some things that I used to live for. The library no longer can you see everything in your library in one thing. It's all divided. So I used to like going through the library to see everything, podcasts, videos, songs, or whatever.
Oh, I see. Because I don't have any video in mind.
Well, the reason I do that is to some extent because I like to. I want to see what monster files I have if I need to delete some, because some of these are huge video files. And one of the easiest ways is just to go to your library and sort by size. Well, guess what? You can't sort by size anymore on these things. You know, the only place you can sort by size is on songs. So you can't do it on video. You can't do it on podcasts. So now you're just left to just assume. And it's like, why did they eliminate that? They have the size. It shows the size, but there's no arrow to sort by it. I have no idea why they eliminated that. So it's kind of an annoyance, you know. That said, they also updated the software on iPods slightly too. And it's great. I've never understood why you can't just adjust the brightness on iPod. And all of a sudden now you can do it right there.
I don't know if that's for all the iPods, because you have the latest.
Well, the 5G. The 5G.
I don't think it'll work on
mine. But it works. It's kind of cool here. And then also another thing they did on iTunes is when you're watching video, the player controls, you know, can hover over on the screen if you want them. Mm-hmm. So you can, and that's a problem. Sometimes when you go to widescreen, the player controls disappear, at least on a PC. So it's just on every level, it just shows how iPod or Apple is continuously improving a free product that they know is better. Now, if they would only make it not completely take over every resource of your system on a Windows, I'd be happier. But I think the new iTunes is great. It's fantastic.
And then they gave a sneak peek at a new product, which is coming out in first quarter 2007, of the iTV.
Which is what they say they're tentatively calling. Or they're
he said that's the code word. We need to come up with a better name.
Yeah.
And I thought it was awesome that they just gave a sneak peek, and the way Steve did it of saying, this, you know, it's not 100% ready yet. We don't even know what we're calling it yet, but here it is.
So why do you think they did that, given that they never, ever have done that in the past?
I don't know. I guess they're maybe they're looking at the possibility of, well, because if Vista ships in January,
yeah,
then people, because Vista will incorporate a lot of the Windows Media Center.
Yep.
All of it, as far as I know.
Yep.
All of the Media Center stuff. And people might suddenly realize how easy it is with Vista to integrate TV in their computer somehow.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe not. That's still kind of a not mainstream thing. And so he's hedging his bets by saying, look, maybe you can see this coming down the pike, but we've got your back. Don't freak out yet.
Yeah.
Because it's like it was aimed at me, because I was going, where's your damn living room box, Apple? I'm frustrated. I need this. Let's go. Finally, I can say, okay, I know it's coming. I can plan around that. Great. I've got the information. So what this thing is, it's basically a network adapter.
It's exactly what it is. It's like a wireless network adapter.
It's a wireless adapter that has outputs for component and HDMI, yeah, as well as digital audio.
And for what it's worth, that's great.
And it's so basically, it's a bridge so that all the stuff sitting on your laptop or your desktop, and then you send it wirelessly. They didn't specify the speed. A lot of speculation about that. Is it pre-N? Because the N standard is now pushed back another year or something ridiculous.
That's an interesting thing, because you got to wonder about.
A lot of people don't think the bandwidth is enough for high def signal, quality high def signals.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And so I think in terms of what it does, it's brilliant. But they also said it was $300, and I was kind of, well, that sounds spendy, but I haven't really thought it through yet, so I'm going to reserve judgment. Your initial email was, oh my God, that's incredibly expensive.
It wasn't that. It wasn't so much that. It wasn't what I wanted. I want a TiVo. Well, I want to record something on there, not use my computer.
But then I thought about it, and it's like, I kind of think they're doing the right thing. They're not making you duplicate what you already have. You have the capability in your computer. You know, everybody has the capability in their computer to do this. Why duplicate a hard drive? Why duplicate an OS and a motherboard and a software in something that you already have?
Well, I don't know that I'm easily able to send that to my TV, though. I mean, through this thing, you know. In other words, if I want to see high def Sopranos and I want to record it on my computer,
okay, like record.
That's what I'm talking about. Is doing time shifting recording. And honestly, just have it set up there. I was looking for the Mac Mini. I was looking for it to be a reconfigure thing, which has everything that this had, but allowed me to, but just sat there next to my TV.
And there's
and
a couple different
stuff.
Ways to look at it. In that, really, at $300, isn't the entry level Mini like $400, or is it $500?
I think it's $499. I thought
$500. So. Yeah. You're within a couple hundred dollars of a full on computer.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Well, that's the thing, and that $300, it just struck me as like, wow, I'm just looking at it's legitimately cool, but it's not, it's what you're exactly saying. It's like an interface card. And it was funny, he was talking about no power brick and everything. I'm going, of course there's no power brick. Of course it's small, because there's nothing there. It's not a big, and I don't want to be dismissive. I think for what it is, I've actually kind of come around to it a little bit. I thought for what it is, it's not that bad of a thing. It's like I'm downloading all of, I've gotten to the point where I'm watching a lot of shows on iTunes and everything else. And it's like, well, if I don't have something big, at least this is some way to watch them on TV.
It interestingly solves the problem of having, of using your computer as the TV,
yeah,
which like works in a dorm room and yep, that's it, or the yeah, office. I keep hearing that, you know, it's great for the office, but I don't know anybody yeah, that actually uses it like that. And so, you know, you don't have to have your Mini actually in your a dedicated Mini,
yeah,
you know, in your entertainment stack with your, you know, next to your audio receiver, using the TV as the monitor. Because it's kind of a kludge,
yeah,
and you're probably not going to have your only computer in your entertainment stack, because it's so inconvenient, because yep, your TV and all that stuff is usually at one end of the living room and you're usually at the other end.
Yeah.
And so this solves that problem brilliantly, in that it projects so to speak, that what the computer's doing over there.
Exactly. And the more I thought of it, I thought, you know, that is a really legitimately cool thing.
You're right in that the actual DVR functions of recording a TV show don't natively exist. Yeah. Although you can get like ITV, but and yet you're frustrated because usually at some point Apple buys that or eventually integrates that functionality. And so you're wondering why they haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
And maybe it's they don't want to irritate studios more than they have to so that they can sell the shows through
honest
iTunes.
Honest to God, that's my assumption on it. I mean, the fact is the only studio they could even make a deal with was their own studio, basically.
We're almost there. We're not there yet. But on the other hand, as much as I love the way iTunes does video and all of that, and I'm perfectly willing to be locked into the Apple way of doing things, I am okay with that because they do it right.
Yep.
But I am as of yet unwilling to pay $2 for a TV show.
Yeah.
And that's...
And I've probably paid $2 for about 100 TV shows at this point.
And so that's what's keeping me from doing that, aside from the fact that as of yet, I haven't been able to watch the shows on anything bigger than my laptop screen.
And you know what's funny about that is they've announced, they kind of, people glossing over that they've announced that these are now full screen.
Well, the thing, people I listen to don't gloss over the fact that they bumped the resolution.
It's like an enormous thing. First of all, the quarter screen resolution is pretty good. I haven't had any problems. The codec is so good that it's always looked great on all the formats I see. But at this is actually better resolution than most people can typically get on their TVs.
It's almost DVD.
I forget what it is. It's 640 by 480.
P.
So,
480.
And most TVs can only differentiate maybe 450 lines. So 640 is better than that.
It's also... I versus P, interlaced versus progressive. Yeah.
So it's legitimately a great codec and legitimately it's good. And honestly, I had heard that the reason originally they would pump it out at the quarter size was because that was the deal, because you're going to pay a certain amount, but you're not getting the great quality. And now I guess this shows that no, that wasn't it. It was purely, you know, is probably just a bandwidth issue.
Well, and you know, I'm fine either way.
Well, it definitely downloading a couple shows immediately, because they set that up immediately. Immediately, you can see it takes a lot more of your hard drive to save these shows, a lot more. I mean, there used to be like a daily show would take, you know, about like 200 megabytes or something. And now it's up to like 700 megabytes for a show.
Wow.
So
I don't know what they have to do to get me on to that bandwagon. I don't want to pay anything.
Yeah.
So I'd be perfectly willing to download them if there was advertising that I couldn't.
Well, so then the ITV totally isn't for you. It sounds like, because unless you're using some collection that lets you send it through there, basically ITV is a front end for iTunes, and for video content, it's all about iTunes. You know, they're not really, I mean, are they saying you can play a DVD through here and it sends it over there to the ITV?
Sure.
Okay. So if it's a front end for all of that.
Well, a front row front end.
My impression of the whole announcement that it was entirely based around, iTunes and controlling your iTunes library.
Well, I think it's mostly that, but it should, whatever front row can do.
Okay.
It's mimicking.
Okay.
Or it's so.
Well, anyway, it's still a pretty good announcement. I've softened my.
But you're right. The ability to pump the music through your good stereo.
Yeah.
Without having to trail. You know,
yeah, I like that.
I could do that, but I had to put my laptop on next to my TV and plug in an eighth inch jack.
And not just that, the ability to control your music in a better way. You can sit there on your TV and create, you know, very easily your entire library or whatever, like you do on your computer, mm-hmm. and it pumps out on a way that you just can't do on a stereo at all or easily, or and you've got that ridiculous jack.
Although, God, my poor wife has no clue how to listen to anything in iTunes, or half the time even she can't, because when I got the Xbox 360, I took out the old DVD player and put it downstairs. And that was the CD player. So now she really doesn't even know how to listen to a CD in the living room stereo system. Because I haven't showed her. It's not that she's, You know, it's not that she's not technically inclined enough to be able to start from scratch and figure it out on her own. So I have to show her how to do all that stuff, but poor thing.
Poor thing.
Okay, so that's sort of the ITV thing, which basically they're missing the DVR aspect of it.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's coming, we don't know.
Yeah.
All right, so then the other big thing, as we continue with the Apple assault, the movie downloads.
Yep.
Which is, finally enabled movie downloads through Miramax, Touchstone, Pixar, and Disney.
It was so funny to hear him list off all of these studios, and you know they're all Disney names. You're going, Touchstone Pictures, Buena Vista Releasing, Disney, Miramax. You're just laughing because they're all Disney.
Well, that's we would have done it.
Exactly. To his credit, he immediately says Disney brings out Bob Iger and, you know, and the whole nine yards. But it was very funny.
And so, you know, because Steve Jobs is the largest shareholder in Disney.
Yep.
Ever since they bought Pixar.
Yep.
So Disney is the only studio they have on board selling movies.
Yep.
Which are, it's like $9.99 for older catalog stuff.
Yep.
And then $14.99 for newer stuff, I think.
Yeah, so like Pirates of the Caribbean. And they're releasing them for right now, newer stuff, it's the same day as DVD. So essentially you're saying, do I want to buy... What they're trying to do is do a price point. Do I want to buy a DVD or do I want to just download the thing and I can save it and watch it whenever I want this way? And so that's what they're going after is just, do you want to own a physical DVD or do you want to have this here?
And it will be interesting to see because... It really seems like, in all the commentary I've heard about this and everything I've read, there is a split between people who really enjoy having a DVD and having the extras and all the everything that, you and I, and lots of other people like us that really do enjoy the extras. And then people like my wife or the wives who don't care at all about that stuff and really just are interested in the movie.
Yeah, I want to see The English Patient.
Yeah, and could care less about a six-hour documentary or anything about that. And so, you know, there's you and I going, well, there's no extras. And then there's the other people going, well, who cares? That's the movie. That's what I want. Although how much access those people have to iTunes and the computer and the knowledge to do that, because usually it's the tech nerds that are into the commentaries and the making of stuff. So that's an interesting aspect.
Yeah. But, and it'll be interesting to see how it goes because I know they were talking about like the downloads, like he was talking about how many downloads they've done and songs legitimately iTunes is a force to be reckoned with. He talks about a billion and a half downloads. Okay. That's incredible.
Well, they're the fifth largest music retailer.
Yeah. That's what he was talking about where they've gone in to be in the top five in terms of, and that's a really legitimately amazing thing. TV shows, they've done, it's now been exactly 1 year and they talk about 45 million. Now it will continue to grow and do everything else, but I couldn't help but think that actually felt kind of small. In other words, if you took everybody that watched two episodes of American Idol last year,
but you know what though, it's not equivalent, and here's why. Because with the music, they've given with the iPod, they've given you the end-to-end solution with what you're going to do with the music. You're going to listen to it, and they've given you a solution to listen to it.
Yep.
With video, up until this ITV thing, they really haven't given you a way to watch the video on your TV.
Yeah.
And I think that's the differentiating factor.
I agree.
They've given you ways to watch on your computer and on your video iPod, and those are great. But until I can watch an iTunes video on my TV, I'm just not that into it yet.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And so I think that's what I think. Once that happens, the numbers on those will start to go up.
Yeah.
So continue with your thought.
Well, no, it doesn't strike me as a whole heck of a lot given the amount of shows they have on there. But I agree. They're for no other reason, they're locking themselves into the future. They've got deals with every network now and every single thing.
Somebody pointed out that actually when the TV shows started, ABC was the only network.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, it was like, and it was just like a few shows.
And so hopefully, you know, obviously everyone's hoping that the other movie studios will eventually come around.
Yeah. And I look, I'm sure they will.
And apparently the big struggle was the pricing. Steve Jobs, famous for wanting a one price solution.
Yeah. Which surprised me that he came up with a two-price solution.
And the studio saying, no, no, we want tiered price. We want the ability to squeeze as much money as possible out of people. And Steve saying, no, people don't like that.
So clearly he lost that argument, or was persuaded in some way.
And yet, if he's going to lose the argument, how come he still only has Disney?
Yeah.
How come he doesn't have other studios yet? So, and, you know, the Amazon, the Unbox or whatever their player is, has every studio but Disney.
Yeah.
And so there's kind of a, you know, there's a bit of that going, you know, a turf war going on.
Yeah.
And, as you know, I love Apple. I'm not going to download these movies, I don't think.
I wouldn't.
I love the extras. What is preventing them from incorporating the extras into the download?
Nothing. That's the thing. It's exactly right.
Have two downloads. Have one, you know, obviously the size of the file goes up.
Yep.
And so why not have a version for the dorks, like you and I, these dorks, and I'll pay more for it. I will pay $20-$25.
Can they have two audio tracks in a movie or in a thing?
I don't see why not.
I don't know. I can't even think of if they have that capability. Like to
sure,
to, really? Well, I don't know. It just occurred to me. I've never seen as an option.
I have ripped DVDs I've owned onto my Mac.
No, I understand that. So
and through the DVD player software.
Exactly. But this is through QuickTime. So through QuickTime, does it allow you to have them?
I don't know.
So, I mean, to me, I totally agree, and I'm just
it can't
thinking,
be that hard to program in and do a patch.
Yeah, you wouldn't think.
So I don't understand. And that really does seem like a differentiating factor between people like you and me doing this, downloading the movies.
Yeah.
And you know, how hard can it be to offer a second solution to accommodate people like you and me and get us on board? Then we're completely endorsing this product to all our friends, all our family members, saying this is the best thing ever.
Exactly.
I really don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't either. I have no interest.
It does introduce a new layer of complexity, but I think it's worth the trade-off.
It's interesting to see how it was played in the general press, because they love Apple announcements. And when I was watching that and I was watching the whole announcement, I go, you know, why do I get the feeling I'm going to see Johnny Depp on tonight's news? And sure enough, everybody led with Pirates is going to be, you know, available on iTunes. It was all about Pirates of the Caribbean and, you know, yada yada. You know, it was kind of a nothing thing, if you ask me. But
as a friend of mine who listens to the podcast said, oh, but remember when you were crying about Pirates becoming like the third most successful movie of all time? It's like, my mother-in-law has seen it 3 times.
Oh,
man. It kind of bummed me out the rest of the day after he told me that.
It doesn't take much, does it, I guess?
That was just depressing. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. And clear, you know, as hopefully more studios jump on, eventually it'll be really successful. But, you know, until they accommodate that cinephile aspect of it, I don't know what's going to happen with me.
Yeah.
And you.
Yeah, well, I could care less. I like what I like on it, and I'm not interested in what I don't like. I was waiting and excited for TV shows, and I was not waiting, and I could care less about movies. Because it's too expensive. I've gotten very used to paying
That's true.
$7 for movies used, and they're charging $9 for a lesser product with the simple factor of a little bit of convenience, but again, they don't have any selection. So, you know, I mean, my
dude, they've got Pirates of the Caribbean.
I know. I mean, admittedly, it'll take a while, but my collection right now is 12 times bigger than their collection. So there's nothing of interest to me hardly of there. And the few that were of interest to me, I already own. So who cares? So, but anyway, so other than that, I could care less. But that said, there was a lot about that announcement. It was funny. It was weird. I don't know if you noticed that, but I mentioned in my email to you, they mentioned gapless playback. Like, it must have been 17 times. I think it's a cool feature, but my God, how many times could the dude mention it?
I watched the Engadget live blogging of it. I didn't actually watch the thing because I'm at work and there's a limit to things you can pay attention to when you're trying to work.
I watched it after the fact. So, but it was funny how they're mentioning it's a legitimately cool feature. How many times have you been listening to Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon or Pink Floyd you know, whatever Beatles album where the songs run into each other and it chunks off and chunks on, and their solution they've had in the past is pretty inelegant where they mix the two ends of the end and the beginning of a song. It's a great thing, but my God, did he emphasize it was like the second coming of the Almighty Jesus. And it wasn't that to me, but it was cool. But yet another thing, when I signed on the new iTunes, it took like a half an hour for it to, no, it took like an hour for it to go through my whole music collection.
Well, you have a much larger list than I do. Cause it didn't take near that long for it to do with mine.
My it's
probably
about
like 5 or 10 minutes.
I don't know. I've got about, maybe it's that whole PC thing, but I've got about 20 gigabytes of songs. So I don't know how many
that
is. I
think I've got, maybe I've got about 15.
Well, either way, iTunes works functionally exactly the same in Mac as PC, but it clearly is optimized for the Mac and not the PC. PC, it takes hold of your computer and it does not let go. If you do the control alt delete to see the programs manager to see what percentage of your program is, most programs, once they're up and running, they're like 2%. iTunes is a consistent 60-90% of your resources nonstop the whole time. It just drives me bonkers. Anyway, I digress.
All right. I think we're about done with the technical aspect.
Yep.
We have a reader email.
Oh,
a listener email.
Wow.
Submitted to youguysrock@mustardamaze.com. So this person wanted to know what we thought of the phenomenon or non-phenomenon, what we thought about people who make these little viral videos or are in perhaps a video podcast and then suddenly are trying to leverage that into a legitimate TV or film career. Apparently this happened with, there was an example cited that
Lonely Girl.
That's it.
Yep.
Was that a video podcast or was that just a viral video thing?
Well, it's hard to know what the hell it was, but it was a group of people was going to be like a soap opera or something. But what they did is they hired a girl to sit in front of a little quick cam and tell about her life. And then they released them on YouTube periodically. But people were so enamored with this person trying to figure out who she was.
Was this a Carson Daly? Was she the one that got something like MTV or Carson Daly's production company or something?
I don't know. I don't know if
maybe
it was
that.
Maybe
that was someone else.
But anyway, so the people who were part of it, of course, after it was over, well, as people started looking into this, trying to find out, they realized that her blog website, was registered like before she went on. But, you know, it was like they started to realize that something hinky was up. And then they also realized that people, part of this, were connected to Creative Arts Agency, the CAA. And they were trying to leverage this into it was a little bit of both. For my way of thinking, I think it's fantastic. I think if you can come up with something cool and in the way cut through a lot of the old ways of showing how talented you are or what you're doing, that's fantastic. That's the coolest thing ever. Some of the neatest things I've ever seen. Not most of it's 100% crap, but there's some legitimately cool things out there on YouTube, and I find myself just randomly watching YouTube all the time for that stuff.
I never ever watch YouTube for that sort of stuff. I think I went there once a couple weeks ago, and it might have been Google Video. I don't remember which. And I don't remember what I was looking for, but something popped up, and it was like a teenage girl was one of the options. So I clicked on it, and it was like a video diary of hers, and it was so pretentious and
bad.
You sure it wasn't
Lonely Girl?
I don't know.
Because that was the whole point. It was kind of pretentious, and she's a little emo, and, you know. And
maybe it was.
Yeah.
Because it was one of the top results, so
I guess
that's
probably
consistent.
It was probably you were watching Lonely Girl.
But, because it was like, it's like the scene, this, the that, you know, the weather, rainy, the clothing, dark. So it was like along those lines.
Yeah. Or it might have been a one of the million spoofs of Lonely Girl.
Maybe.
That came
I don't
out.
It was just, well, I couldn't stomach it.
I don't know if you read New York Times Online, but nope. In today's issue, they have a little article about Jackie Earle Haley. And Jackie Earle Haley was the thug he was Kelly Leak in Bad News Bears, the original Bad News Bears. And he was also in Breaking Away, and he was a child actor, and he couldn't get any roles. So anyway, For the longest time. So he just stopped acting in the early 90s, delivered pizzas, did all kinds of stuff. And he was a very prominent kids actor. Well, he's got two new roles coming out. One is in All the King's Men, and the other is a very prominent role in this new, that Kate Winslet movie, The Little Children or whatever, that's supposedly really good. So anyway, in the article, they talk about how he, when he did an audition tape for Todd Field, the director of The Little Children, and he said, you know, Todd Field was very impressed, not only with the audition tape, that they, on the tape that they sent him, that he used innovative camera angles and he did blocking and he did, he basically filmed it like a scene. And I thought that was really interesting to me that, that Todd Field was impressed by that or is interested by that. And I'm not sure why he would do that, but it just goes to show me that the standards have changed. And now you're the expectations in any and every situation is that, you know, the mechanics of filmmaking, well, and everybody does those kinds of things.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think if you pull back a little and say, well, people in a casting situation or in a job hiring situation are always looking for, or not looking for, but they always react more strongly to when there's a connection of some sort.
Yeah.
And you never know what's going to trigger that connection.
Yeah.
I remember I was interviewing for a job once, and I was in the middle of taking a documentary film class in college, and the guy I was interviewing with was a huge fan of documentary films.
Yeah.
And so just apropos of nothing, that came up and got to talking about documentary films. And you can tell the guy was totally engaged and much more amenable to my getting this job. And so, you know, I think it's more along the lines of that.
Yeah.
And so if you're a director and you see that somebody is displaying good directorial skill, you're reacting to it on a couple of levels. I think you're also reacting to it on a, oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking in terms
of, or in almost the same way as if the guy had been wearing like a t-shirt for a band you really liked. It's obscure, or a, you know, a some t-shirt that, you know, like a comic book t-shirt. I don't know.
Yep. Well, I was just thinking of it in terms of increasingly, I would assume that would be the norm. You're going to expect people to come in with some, what used to be, you know, making movies, making TV, telling a story used to be voodoo. And now everybody, you expect to have those skills. It's sort of like, I get surprised when I see my niece and she's in high, she's in element, or she's in junior high. And as part of her classes, they're required to make a website. They're required to create a PowerPoint presentation. They're required to design a newsletter using some product. Unfortunately, not InDesign. It's probably like Microsoft Word. But they're doing these things. But they're doing things that legitimately would have been completely out of the realm. And I used to be like at the cutting edge. I could do these things and nobody else could. So I always had a leg up on people. Now, this is what kids are learning from the default. And I think with video production and other things, it's just everybody, they're kind of understand
that. Certainly, it lowers the barriers to access, but what it doesn't do is make you any good at it.
Oh, I understand.
So hopefully, you know, if you look at it from the perspective of the more people that are doing it, by definition, the more people are going to be good at it. You get a percentage that goes along with that. And the more people play with it, maybe they can self-educate, or there'll be more tutorials out there that can really get good. But God, there are so many websites that I've looked at that are horrible.
Yeah.
Or so many newsletters that are horrible.
Yeah.
That are just, oh my God, they're just cover your eyes awful. And so the ability for people to know how to make these things is up there, but to do them well, it's...
No, I agree, but it means that, and it so just shows you can never rest on your laurels because it's easier to make something look relatively good without knowing what you're doing these days.
True.
Because of the tools and because you're growing up in the environment where you just by osmosis understand the mechanics of blocking a scene, the mechanics of lighting and other stuff, whereas you didn't know that before. Now it's just you understand those things invariably.
And so steering back towards the original question of what do I think about it, on one hand, you know, you're right, it's good because it removes barriers for people to get out there and be creative and say, hey, friend of mine, check my movie out. It's a lot, the functionality of that is becoming a lot more straight. I'm just totally not being articulate right now.
Well, what I don't like is when they're when it's clearly somebody with bucks and talent behind or major stuff, and they're using it as a quiet subterfuge campaign. I'm going to release this stuff on here.
Can you blame them?
I can't. But it's still I don't like being manipulated.
Right.
And that's what it ends up being. And at least with Lonely Girl, the manipulation, nobody ever cared about what their end result being. They just wanted to find out what the true story was.
There's another aspect to it in that if there's some young hot chick, there will always be a need for some new hot young chick.
Yeah.
Whether or not she's got any talent, all she has to do is be young, hot, and a chick.
Yeah.
and this is just another avenue for young hot chicks to be discovered, in terms of, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just seems like there's always some young new hot chick.
Yeah.
Apropos of nothing.
Yep.
And so I think it's a lot easier for attractive women to sort of be seen through this sort of YouTube culture than it is for, someone like you or me.
Yeah.
And so I think that aspect of it, it'll be interesting if you look at the people that are elevated through this process, through YouTube or viral videos, how many of them are attractive women? Look at Rocket Boom.
I know.
Look at Tiki Bar TV.
Yep.
Look at
Geek Brief.
Never actually seen either of those. I think I tried to watch a Tiki Bar TV once.
It's almost impossible to watch.
And yet these are insanely popular, and both of them can oddly have a really attractive hot chick.
I know.
What are the odds of that? And you don't need one. There are certainly podcasts and blogs and video podcasts that don't have attractive women, but it just seems like it's a lot easier for an attractive woman to play a part in the breakout aspect of it.
Absolutely.
So that's my thinking on that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Any other movie thing we can talk about?
Well, I've got some new DVDs. Without going into detail, I got a lot of them, but what did I, oh, I got United 93. Yesterday I actually bought it new cause it was like cheap and it's a legitimately great movie. Paul Greengrass's commentary is so muted that it's almost like I actually liked his commentary on Bloody Sunday and the Bourne Supremacy. But this one here, he's so into the family members, and it was interesting, by the way, they kept talking about the family members. Famously, the A&E version of this movie locked up the rights, or I think it was A&E or whoever, locked up the rights to all the family members' stories for this. What they did for this movie is they went out and systematically talked to family members that are like maybe one removed. So like brothers and other people, as opposed
that's
to that,
funny.
But they did, get a lot of the family members involved. But anyway, he's so reverential about it that you don't learn a lot about the movie. There's a certain amount, but I wish it had been a little more mechanical, telling me about how they made the movie and what their thoughts were. But it was interesting watching it again. And hearing him talk about things like the music. Honestly, that movie was so visceral to me that I didn't even remember there was music. In fact, if you'd asked me, I would have said they did it so matter of fact they didn't have music. And no, actually, music was clearly in there, but done in a really effective way. So, and then what else did I? I don't know. I got some other movies. I gotta stop buying movies. I'm really getting close to that 1,000 mark. I'm probably
Our special celebration.
I'm probably at about 990 right now, but I actually went into my extra bookshelf and took two entire rows of books off of them and put them on the floor just so I could like store the DVDs because the DVDs were falling everywhere. So it's pretty crazy.
It's Richard's house.
That's my house.
Did you see the Black Dahlia yet?
No, my dad saw it. It's gotten such bad reviews.
You were totally stoked to see it.
No, I wasn't. I told you I'm mortified that it's going to be screwed up. And all the reviews seem to indicate what my concern was is true. I mean, it's James Ellroy, the greatest writer in the world.
I love that you say that every time.
It's Brian De Palma directed, who's hit and miss, but has directed movies like this extremely well. But I just looking at the preview, it looked like a mess. And my uncle and dad saw it and thought it was great, which further tells me I'm not sure I want to see this movie. If they came back and told me it's a little confusing, I would have said, okay, I want to see this movie.
Is there a monkey in it?
No, there's no monkey. It's not going, coconuts. but anyway, so it just, I don't know. It just, reading the reviews, it seemed to confirm my concern. It looked like a movie with a bunch of people acting wildly different. Just kind of, just a mishmash. So
yeah, okay.
No interest in seeing it at this point. And it kills me because I love James Ellroy, the greatest living writer.
Okay. Are we, you have anything else you want to?
No, that's about it.
All right. That was a tech heavy episode.
It was.
We're both Apple dorks, so we got to cover it.
Absolutely.
It's
funny how much of an Apple dork I am, considering I haven't actually owned an Apple computer in 9 years now. But like I said, my next computer will definitely be one.
I know. All right. Questions, comments, things you'd like us to address. You guys rock at mustardayonnaise.com. And I guess that's it. I'm Matt.
I am Richard.
Thank you for listening.
Chachos.